to use this opportunity of celebration with him. And I call upon Rosila to start.
It's just Marina, actually, sir. Thank you. This great honour of being Chosantar is really a credit to all of you, because without all of you, not just being listeners but also giving feedback, are the ones who have created this year, and am I very grateful to it. It's not the very first time I've received an honour from this shul. Henry won't know about this. For the first time I received an honour from this shul, I think, was when I was 10 years old, because I decided I was going to build my own sukkah in the back garden at home, and it fell down on the fourth day, and my father came to Rabbi Cooper, Zichrono Livracha, and asked him, this child, about whether the sukkah that his 10-year-old son had built was kosher l'mafreya from the first day, since it fell down on the fourth day. And Rabbi Cooper devoted a significant amount of time to that topic, and I was very honored at the age of 10 that it wasn't in this auspicious building. We were still governing in the school. Well, sukkah is Zman Simchaseinu, the time of rejoicing. And as one friend of mine pointed out, why do we call it the time of rejoicing? Because the husband is in the sukkah while the wife is in the house. Well, having said that, though, we've got this question of sleeping in the sukkah. Note that on the notice board, the title was, "Should I Sleep in the Sukkah?" Henry craftfully changed the title in the program to "Sleeping in the Sukkah." But "Should I Sleep in the Sukkah?" is more personalized, and maybe if the question is whether I should sleep in the sukkah, it might not apply to everybody else. If I've got a better aptitude or willing to go camping, I mean, who in their right mind wants to sleep in a garden shed in October? But we do this, and it can be exciting for some, but it can be rather damp and dull for others. So let's have a look at the halachic thing. It used to be a time when it was very rare for people to sleep in the sukkah, and you hear now much more people doing so. Maybe it's partly to do with the fact that people got these wonderful house extensions with built-in sukkah roofs, with central heating and double glazing, and it's ever so cozy, so there's really no excuse. But we do find that more people now are sleeping in the sukkah than ever before. It must be something to do with what they call global warming, with people becoming maybe more frum. But the general principle is, the Gemara Sukkah Kaf Ches, Teishu Ke'en Tiduru, you have to live in the sukkah as though it is your own home. You treat it as though it's your own home. So obviously there will be some discomfort in leaving your house and going into a sukkah, but nevertheless, you are still allowed to eat snacks outside the sukkah, but otherwise we say ochlim shosim uyashenim in the sukkah, lashon of the Rambam. We eat, we drink, and we sleep in the sukkah, and that is standard halacha. There is an emphasis when you just go through the Mishnayos, the whole idea of a whole parrot being called hayoshon, one who sleeps. Tachas hamito, a person who sleeps under the bed in the sukkah, is he yotze, is he not yotze? So the whole emphasis there is about sleeping, even perhaps more than eating. And it says, Ve'ein yishenim shina sarai. So although you are allowed to have a snack outside the sukkah, if you're just going to have a short nap, 40 winks, you must have that in the sukkah, and it's not allowed outside the sukkah. My tamar, Rabbi Ashi Gazer Shema Yehuda, because then you might fall into a deep sleep. So what we find from the Gemara is that it's more important to sleep in the sukkah than it is to eat in the sukkah. Because with eating in the sukkah, a meal you'll have in the sukkah, but if you're having a little snack, a glass of water, then it's perfectly allowed to have it outside. But a short nap, even a short nap, may only be done in the sukkah. So people who think that sleeping in the sukkah is just the chumrah over and above the meals, it's really perhaps the other way around. So we're going to ask a number of questions, particularly because there are some chassidim who don't ever sleep in the sukkah, and they'll only have their snacks and even a glass of water in the sukkah. So we'll try and get that in perspective. But what happens is that nowadays, why don't people sleep much in the sukkah? The Ramah says in Arachayim Tov Reishlamat Tes, in Sifbeis, U'mash Shenagin Lahokel Achshov. But there is the fact that people practice nowadays a leniency when it comes to sleeping. Shame is shenim, the sukkah rak hamadakdakim b'mitzvahs, because only people who are really particular about keeping their mitzvahs are sleeping in the sukkah. And he says, yeshom rishum tzinot. Some say it's because of the cold weather. Well, the Shulchan Aruch, who wrote that one sleeps in the sukkah, he lived in Tzfat, which is a nice, hot, warm climate in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramah lived in Poland, Krakow, where you get the minus temperatures. So he was saying, look, you know, there's cold weather. The Yesh Tzar Lishom B'Makom HaSakorim, and it's a tzar for people. And although that might sound like a cop-out, there's a very well-known din, Mitzta'er Posu Min HaSukkah. If you're troubled in any form whatsoever, and the Gemara discusses various kinds of tzar. If a person is a sick person, he's got the flu, he's sensitive to the cold, he's potter from the sukkah. Or if it's raining in, you don't have to sit in the sukkah when it's raining in, all right, until your soup gets spoiled. There's a question as to how far you go in sitting in a sukkah when it's raining. But even a small amount of rain, say the poskim, is a bother for you when you're sleeping in the sukkah. So that is it's mistire, and mistire is potter min hasukkah. The Gemara asks, what about an ovel or a choson? A choson wants privacy with his wife, and many sukkahs are communal, people are coming in and out. So a choson wants some privacy with his new wife. So choson, chol shushpinov, paturim in a sukkah. They don't have to sit in the sukkah. What about an ovel? An ovel wants to be brooding on his own, he's feeling down in the dumps. So there the Gemara says, no, the ovel is not potter from the sukkah. He's not called mitztayer. Ah, the ovel says, but I feel mitztayer, I feel troubled. So the Gemara says, he should put his mind to it, he should pull himself together. Because there he's able to transform his mood to be able to sit in the sukkah. But somebody who is sick, or if there's rain, you can't really transform your mind. You can't say, iboile lesuve date. So that's one idea of the Ramah. Another thing that the Ramah says is, sukkah ish v'ishto. A sukkah should really be where a man can sit with his wife. Ish v'ishto kederek shudar kol hashana, in the way that he lives the whole year round. And the way he lives the whole year round is that he sleeps in the same room as his wife. Uvamokam shelo yuchal lishon im ishto, and in a place where you can't sleep with your wife, she'elo chovo miuchedes. So, if a person hasn't got a specially designed sukkah where a person can't sleep with his wife, and even if he has got a specially designed sukkah where the wife might say, I'm not going to sleep in a shed in the garden in October, maybe in June or August, but not in October, then a person should have an obligation to be with his wife, and it's a mitzvah to be with his wife. And those people who think that it's wrong for a husband and wife to be very intimate in the sukkah, physically intimate, they're totally wrong. That it's in the halacha that it's the normal thing to live in the sukkah with one's wife in the manner that one lives in the house. The only question, of course, is privacy. And if you have a communal sukkah, it's not going to be very practical to have your wife with you in the sukkah. Right. So before
she doesn't want to go.
If she doesn't want to go, well, when I was courting with my future wife, before we got engaged, I did ask her, I said, will you sleep in the sukkah? I mean, that's obviously a condition of a marriage, isn't it? And she said, well, yes, I've done so in the past, but my brother kicked me out when I was growing older, when I was a little girl. So for the first couple of years, she slept in the sukkah, but then when the kids came along, she gave up.
What I'm trying to say is, you're supposed to, if the wife doesn't want to sleep in the sukkah and your obligation is to be with your wife, then your obligation is in.
Well, that's a question addressed by Rav Avadi Yosef, because a person might say, Osek the mitzvah, potter min mitzvah. Yeah. If I'm Osek in the mitzvah of being with my wife, then surely I'm potter from the mitzvah of sukkah. But Rav Avadi Yosef writes in his Chazon Avadia that there is a distinction here where Osek the mitzvah, potter min mitzvah is only when you've got two dinim in HaTorah or two dinim drabonon. Said that wrong. He says, mitzvah is beinotam lamokam, a mitzvah is beinotam lachaveiro. The mitzvah of sukkah is beinotam lamokam, between man and God. The mitzvah of beinotam lachaveiro is between one person and another person. And the two then do not nullify the other. So therefore, he says, you can't say osek the mitzvah potam and a mitzvah in the case of joining the wife in the house, but nevertheless the Ramah makes it very clear that a person has an obligation to be with his wife, and therefore he should join her in the house. Although the way the Ramah writes, it sounds like he's trying to find reasons to be malamig zechus, to justify those people who find it difficult to sleep in the sukkah. So he's saying, well, there's the cold weather. Okay, get yourself a warm sweater. Get a heater. Get some extra blankets. But the Ramah is giving reasons which are malamid zechus to klal Yisrael, because so many people are not sleeping in the sukkah. Rav Schnoberg writes an interesting question. He says, if you're going to say that you have to sleep in the house because of your wife, then surely that if your wife won't join you in the sukkah for eating, then you should sit in the house for eating as well, if she doesn't join you in the sukkah. He doesn't really answer that question. So there are a number of reasons why one might feel justified not to sleep in the sukkah, particularly if it's a public sukkah. So in a public sukkah there's less privacy and the chosen can't be intimate with his wife and so on and so forth. Although the Vilna Gaon and the Magen Avraham, they question the Ramah's assumption that the word teshu or teshu came to do of living like in the house is an exemption for the wife. They feel there's no real source for it. It seems to be the Ramah's own chiddush. The Ramah of Moshe Isserles was the one who wrote for the Ashkenazim, the Shulchan Aruch. He realized that Rabbi Yosef Cairo had already written a Shulchan Aruch for the Sfadim, so instead of writing his own, he had appendices to it. A descendant of the Ramah actually was once a gabber of this shul in the 1960s, a Mr. Spindle Isserles, and he was a direct descendant of the Ramah, who was named Rabbi Moshe Isserles. Now, the summary then about the reasons why one might not sleep in the sukkah is, number one, because of the cold weather. Number two, because of the wife. Nothing derogatory, of course, because of the wife. Number three, a reason given by the Lavush and Rav Menach and others, is that there could be a real bother in organizing the bedding. You know, you finish your meal at 11 o'clock at night, you've got to clear off the table, you've got to take the table out, or take out the chairs, then you've got to bring in the mattresses, and you've got to make the beds, and that's a very big bother. Now, you might say, well, if I'm doing a mitzvah, why should I be bothered? But if we have a din called mitzta'er, then, according to that view, it is mitzta'er to have to make the beds. Well, the answer might be, have a separate sukkah. I remember visiting my great uncle Dai Posen when I was a child, and he was sitting in his sleeping sukkah. Rabbi Kahn has the same. You have a dining sukkah and you have a sleeping sukkah. So that way you don't have the problem of making the bed. But sometimes it's not always practical to have a second sukkah, let alone a first if you're living in a block of flats. So that's one another reason. And another reason which is given by the Mordechai is a very early source, and he says a person might be worried that ganovim, robbers, muggers might come. You don't feel so secure in a sukkah like you feel in your house, where you can bolt the doors and lock up with your double chub locks. Whereas in a sukkah, it's open, especially if it's a communal sukkah which you're sharing with others, or if you're in a block of flats, it's in the garden, and a person might feel nervous when he is going into his sukkah to sleep. He can't sleep properly because somebody might come, he hears a noise, could it be an intruder? And that nervousness is also a form of mitzta'er, which makes a person justified halakhically not to have to sleep in the sukkah. Well, the Magen Avraham, although he disagrees with the Ramah about the idea of not being with one's wife, he says that, well, there's another reason of not being with one's wife, and that is because there's a discomfort for a person to sleep alone if he's a married guy. If he's married, then he just feels uncomfortable at the fact that his wife is not next to him. Even if it's at the times of the month when she has not permitted him, nevertheless, there's this idea that it gives a comfort to the couple that they're in the room together, provided that he doesn't snore, of course. Now,
or she,
I deliberately didn't say that. Now, coming back to the Ramah, his reason about not sleeping in the sukkah, that he says, "V'im osu mitchila b'mochem shemitzdayer v'achila obishtia obishino." He says, if a person makes a sukkah and from the outset he is mitzdayer in it, either with eating or with sleeping, or if one can't do any one of those, that's the thieves aspect. So the Ramah says something else here, which is quite frightening. He says, if your sukkah is not fit for any one of those things, then it's the possible sukkah for everything. So if your sukkah is not fit for sleeping in, then it's possible for achila, for eating. Why? Because he says, teshu kedidru, it should be like your home, and if you can't live in it in the normal sense, then even eating in it is no good. According to that Ramah, most sukkahs which you see outside Carmeli or Slice Pizza, which you're definitely not going to sleep in, according to the Ramah, it's a posel sukkah for eating in, because it's got to qualify to be suitable for eating, drinking, and sleeping. Because then it's not like a dira. Therefore, if your sukkah is too cold to sleep in, then how can you possibly eat there? Can you say the bracha leishev basukkah? Or is it a bracha levatola?
You might find a down and out that's quite happy to sleep in that sukkah.
Well, I mean, you can go down Brent Street if somebody's selling the big issue, and yeah.
You might find somebody quite happy to sleep in. He might not be Jewish, but you might find somebody.
Yeah, well, hold on. There are a number of practical issues here. We're talking about you personally, and my question of the title of the today's topic was, should I sleep in the sukkah? If I got a down and out homeless guy who's willing to sleep in my sukkah, apart from the mess he might make, all right, it's very kind of you to be so hospitable and generous, but is that going to kasher your sukkah? He might well invalidate.
But let me rephrase what I was saying.
In other words,
let's say I decide I get kicked out of the house and I want to sleep in the sukkah. So what's stopping me sleeping in the sukkah outside Carmela's or wherever it is? I don't know why just because people don't doesn't mean that it's not a kosher sukkah. You possibly can sleep
in it. If your sukkah is not suitable for you to sleep in, then the Ramah is basically saying it's not a sukkah.
Yeah, but importantly, it is suitable. What I'm trying to say is it is suitable.
Ah, you mean...
You argue with the remote.
The minimum...
No, I'm not.
Well, don't worry. Somebody else does as well. I'll tell you about it in a minute.
The minimum dimensions of a sukkah... small enough that one couldn't actually...
That's a very interesting point, which I was going to bring up. The question is this. If the minimum dimension for a sukkah is 7 by 7 hand breadth, which is quite small, really, the Gemara's criteria is rosh over rova v'shulchano, that most of your body can get into it, but you can't even get your whole body into it. So that means that if you're going to sleep in such a sukkah, you're going to have to crouch like a baby inside its mummy's tummy. You know, is that comfort? That will be a style. And in fact, there is an argument in the Gemara about what's the minimum size of a sukkah. Maybe it's 4 by 4 amos. And it seems, according to some opinions, that that is the basis for the sleeping in the sukkah, that you need more space because you're twisting and turning when you sleep, and you need more than just the size of your body, let alone part of your body. We'll come to that in a moment, because there's an interesting Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi takes the remote to task. Because there is, apart from this idea of maybe if the sukkah is too small, and the Chacham Tzvi jumps on this aspect. He says, Teshu Kein Tediru means you don't have to be uncomfortable in your sukkah. So if your sukkah is only 7 by 7, oh, it's kosher, it's the minimum size, but what a discomfort to sleep in it. So surely then, the logic is that the intention of the 7 by 7 was just to eat in it, and not to sleep in it.
It's
all right. That's just the backup. So the Chacham Tzvi comes along and, interestingly, in Siman Sadi Dalad, takes the Ramah to task for invalidating a sukkah if it's unsuitable for sleep. He says, well, what if I want to have two sukkahs? One is for eating and it's suitable for eating, and one is for sleeping and it's suitable for sleeping. And the sleeping one might not be suitable for eating because it hasn't got a table in it, and the eating one might not be suitable for sleeping for one reason or another. What's wrong with that? He says, I'm perfectly entitled to do that. And then he quotes the Trumas Hadeshen and Siman Sadi Beis, who brings up the very point, David, which you've raised, that you can't stretch your legs in a 7x7 sukkah. So the 7x7 sukkah might be fine for your eating, but it's no good for sleeping. You're not going to sleep properly in such a sukkah. It'll be uncomfortable. So he said, obviously you have to try and prepare your sukkah in advance as comfortable as possible before Yom Tov in order that it's suitable. But if Yom Tov comes already and you're faced with that fait accompli, or you've got nowhere else to go, why should we invalidate a small sukkah for eating as well as sleeping? If you can't sleep in a 7x7, then you can't eat in a 7x7. So he says, I can't accept what the Ramah is saying. And he quotes Rabbi Akiva, who made a sukkah on a boat, on the deck of a windy boat, and it was suitable for eating in, but he says it obviously was not suitable for sleeping in. Nobody who would be able to would sleep in a sukkah on the deck of a boat which is windy with the howling winds, even if a sukkah has to be omeg baruch metsuyah. it should be valid to stand, hence my, when I was 10 years old, that the sukkah that I built only collapsed in an average wind, therefore it wasn't kosher. If it would be an unusually harsh hurricane wind, then the sukkah would still be kosher. So that's the criteria. But when you're on a boat and you've got a wind and you make the sukkah, then it's not suitable for sleeping in. And he says the Chassam Tzvi, the whole argument about the size of the sukkah, whether it's 7x7 tfachim or 4x4 amos, is really based on this whole idea. On do you need a sukkah which is suitable for everything? Or can you just have a unipurpose sukkah for eating and another purpose sukkah for sleeping? And there's another aspect, he says. The Chacham Tzvi says, we say, Kol Ezrach Yisrael Yeshu B'Sukkos. So the posuk, everyone in the Klal Yisrael can sit in sukkah. So Chazal darshan from this posuk, that the whole of Klal Yisrael can sit in one sukkah. Can you imagine? You think it's impossible. But they say that the whole population of the world could stand shoulder to shoulder on the Isle of Wight. So if you have a sukkah which is the size of the Isle of Wight, the whole of Klal Yisrael would definitely be able to get into it and eat in it. But would they be able to sleep in it? I'm not talking about them going from vertical to horizontal. How can you sleep next to your wife in a sukkah which the whole Klal Yisrael is sleeping in? What privacy is that? In fact, two married couples won't sleep together in one sukkah because of the privacy which they would like to have. And if you put a mechitza between one married couple and another married couple, then it's no longer one sukkah, then it's two sukkahs. And we say that the whole of Klal Yisrael can be benefiting just from one sukkah altogether, which must mean, says the Chassam Tzvi, we're talking about eating, but invalid for sleeping. And therefore, he destroys the Ramor's argument. Now, the Ramor writes something quite tricky to understand. We read out his words that, you know, there is not people don't sleep in the sukkah because of the cold and because of other things. But he says, but those who are meductic in the mitzvahs, those who are particular to keep the mitzvahs, do sleep in the sukkah. And I found a problem with this question. If you're mitzvah, if you're troubled from sleeping, you're still particular in keeping the mitzvahs. I want to keep the mitzvah sukkah, but it's raining in, but I can't help it. I'm honest. And if I'm forced, then why should I be blamed for being not under this category of hamadaktik in the mitzvahs? So why does the Ramah say, oh, but the people are particular to keep the mitzvahs. They do sleep in the sukkah. You know, there is the elite, the ultra-orthodox. They sleep in the sukkah. But everybody else, those are not such frumas. Oh, well, they got excuses of the bad weather. That's not the way it works. You can be meductic in all your mitzvahs, surely. You keep everything kadosah hadin. But you can't help it. You feel cold, you're troubled, the rain is coming in. Or you haven't got the privacy, etc. That doesn't mean you're not a person who is meductic in the mitzvahs. So why does the Ramah say that the meductic in the mitzvahs sleep in the sukkah? Problem. But if you look closely at the Ramah, he is actually writing in reference to the paragraph which talks about the cold weather. He's not there talking about the rain or the privacy or some of these other aspects we've discussed. And what comes out from the tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi is that you have to do everything in your ability to make your sukkah as cozy as possible in advance of sukkahs. And that is really the answer to the question. When it comes to the cold weather, you can get extra blankets, you can install a heater. If an Eskimo can sleep in an igloo, then you can sleep in a sukkah. You know, you get warm sleeping bags and people go camping in Antarctica. So according to the way the Chacham Tzvi says, when it comes to the cold weather, you can get thermal insulation and do what you can and get draft excluders and make the sukkah as cozy as possible. But he doesn't write this hamadaktik in bar mitzvahs when it comes to the other aspects, like the rain and so on. So we do come out of this, it emerges that there are really two kinds of mitzvah. One kind of mitzvah is when you have a compulsion that you just cannot sleep in the sukkah. It's just impossible. You can't sleep when it's raining in. It doesn't make sense. In fact, the Ramah says, and it's the Roi himself who says, that a person who sleeps in the sukkah when it's raining is called a hetiot. Note the phonetical relationship to the English word, idiot. He is a fool. only a tipesh would be sleeping in a sukkah which is raining. And therefore, it's a compulsion. So that's one kind of mitzvah, the compulsion, heavy rain or sickness. You know, I've got the flu, I'm compelled to stay indoors. I can't help it. All right, maybe if it's so nice and warm and etc., I can sit in the sukkah. But there is a compulsion there that there are matters outside my control. But what the Chacham Tzvi is saying is that there are certain matters in your control, and that is to make a cozy sukkah. And if you make a cozy, warm sukkah, then the other kind of mitzvah is the bother aspect, the effort, the bother of taking out the table and putting in the beds and making the beds. That's a bother. That's not something which you're compelled that you can't do. Mind you, it's very tiring after a meal, yontov meal, a heavy yontov meal, and it's 11 o'clock at night. But that is a bother. And that's a bother which you have a reason, justifiable reason, to say I'm mitzvah. But the Ramai say that Hamadaktik in b'mitzvahs, those people who are particular in the mitzvahs, they're the ones who make the extra effort. They do more in order to overcome the mitzvah, and the Ramo is actually writing this in connection with the cold weather. Because if it's not raining, you can sit in the sukkah. If it's cold, you can wrap up, and you can be warm if you prepare it in such a way that it will be warm. So I'm not saying that you have to have double glazed extensions to your house with central heating. I was in one house in North Hendon this last week, where there's a very large skylight for a sukkah in the middle of the living room, and I started looking around. I said, well, how does it connect with your wall? Dofen Akuma, you're more than four amas from the wall, and how do you... And he said, don't worry, Rabbi Cohen's been here, and he said it's all okay. So who am I to question anything? So we've stressed the importance of sukkah. The source is that if one can sleep in the sukkah, one does. But why is it, though, that there are certain chassidim who seem to have a principle of not to sleep in the sukkah? And the example I'm thinking of are the Chabad chassidim. Oh. I'm not a member of the Lubavitch sect, although some are my best friends. And I heard the Belzer chassidim, also some of them have a principle not to sleep in the sukkah. Now, when you go through the Mishnayos, there's a clear emphasis about sleeping in the sukkah. You go through the halacha, and all we've got then are excuses and justifications that if you're mitzvah, you can't manage it. Okay, you have a disposition that you can't cope. But to make a principle about not sleeping in the sukkah, and I have met many Chabad Chassidim, and I would always ask them this question: why is it not that you don't sleep in the sukkah, but you have a principle not to sleep in the sukkah? How can you do this in the face of everything that's written? Yes?
What makes the kashi even stronger is that minhag chabad is to sleep in the sukkah if you're eating, even if it's rain.
Yes, that's right. Chabadniks will eat in the sukkah, it's pouring with rain. A chabadnik will not even have a glass of water outside the sukkah. And surely they got it the wrong way around. You know, the chumrah of having a glass of water in a sukkah, that doesn't matter. It's clear cut in halacha that you can have it outside. But sleeping in the sukkah is more important than eating in the sukkah. So what's their excuse? And I've asked, a lot of Chabadnik said to me, well, you know, people, the way they behave in the sukkah, it's a very holy place, and if you sleep in it, they'll get undressed in it, and it's indecent. So I said to this Chabadnik, well, what do you mean? I go in the house, I get undressed in my bedroom upstairs, I put on my pyjamas, I put on my dressing gown, and then I come into the sukkah. And when I get up from the sukkah, I go out of it in my dressing gown, and I go upstairs. I don't get dressed or undressed in the sukkah. So what's the problem? Well, it's a holy place. It wasn't a holy place for the Rambam and for the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, well, what do you mean it's a holy place? So I've tried to look into this to give credit to our Lubavitch friends. Are there any members of Chabad here today? Alright, no members. Okay, so I'm not going to offend anybody if I say one or two things. Anyway, the Sefer HaSichos 5705, page 35, lists this principle. And the Shulchan Aruch Rabbi, which is the Shulchan Aruch Rav, is the first Lubavitch Rebbe. He writes that one does sleep in the sukkah. But the second Lubavitch Rebbe, who was called the Mitzel Rebbe, apparently told his Talmidim, and this is recorded in Sefer HaSichos 5696, Chorev 5700, page 295. He spoke about Yaakov Avinu sleeping in Har Abayis. And Yaakov Avinu, the Parsha of Vayetze, sleeps on Har Abayis, and when he wakes up, he gets this shock. He says, Ma nor hamokam hazeh, how fearful is this place? And Rashi says, he says, had I known that this is such a holy place, I would not have slept in it. I would have not have been able to sleep in it. So he says that the sacred illumination of the sukkah, because it's such a holy place, like the mikdosh, it disturbs one's sleep, that one will not be able to relax properly in the sukkah because it's such a holy place, and that will give rise to a din of mitztayer, that one is troubled. Well, I felt that was a bit stretched, but this is what he says, and it's a source. But he says the fact that a person can sleep in the sukkah if one is a chabadnik and it's without pain, then that itself will cause him pain, that he hasn't got the pain. That's already sounding a bit yeshivish. But it's a known fact that the last of Lubavitcher Rebbe did not sleep in the sukkah, and his followers would not sleep in the sukkah. Now, usually I like to quote my sources, but I'll tell you something which is a personal view for change. My Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Meir Schlesinger, once visited the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He wanted to actually persuade him to tell one of his followers to give a get to an aguna, and this guy was a Lubavitcher. And whilst my Rosh Yeshiva was sitting with him, my Rosh Yeshiva asked him a question which might startle some. He said to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you know, why do you allow your followers to idolize you the way they do? All right, it might not be Avodah Zorah, but the way that it's going on, it looks a bit like idolatry. And the Rebbe said to him, for you it's no good, but for them it is. Now, that's not to suggest anything derogatory, but the fact is that the people who are following the Rebbe are so devout in following the Rebbe, and they deserve credit for that, but they're so devout in following whatever the Rebbe does, that if the Rebbe would sleep in the sukkah, then they will sleep in the sukkah, even if it's bitterly cold, even if it's in Alaska. There's a Chabad house in Alaska. And if the Chabadniks will do what the Rebbe does, and the Rebbe sleeps in the sukkah, then they will sleep in the sukkah. So the reason why the Rebbe would not sleep in the sukkah was because of pikuach nefesh, because otherwise his followers would sleep in the sukkah regardless, because the Rebbe does it, and they might die from hypothermia, chas v'shalom. So to save human life, the Rebbe would not sleep in the sukkah. Kach l'fi anius daiti. Shmini Atzeres is an interesting debate. Shmini Atzeres is the eighth day, it's a new Yom Tov, and that new Yom Tov means that we're really no longer in the sukkah, but in Chutzlaris we keep the extra day for sukkahs. So there's this overlap. Do we stay in the sukkah or don't we stay in the sukkah? We do have a minhag to eat in the sukkah. Hasidim don't. But it's well documented, minhag of a saying of Yodenu, that one should.
It's more than a minhag. I think Rabbi
Kimball
would say it's
Hilchasa. It's Hilchasa. It's a Dinder Rabbonu. And if it's a Dinder Rabbonu, what do we do? On the other hand, is it an insult to Shmini Atzeres because you're sitting in a sukkah? And if it's Shmini Atzeres and it's a different Yom Tov, why aren't you over Baltosif? There's an Avera you mustn't add to a mitzvah. And it indeed says in the Gemara, Hayosham the Shmini Loket, one who sleeps in the sukkah on the eighth night gets Malkus because of Baltosif. You're adding on to a mitzvah.
And you don't make a brach.
Ah, well, now that's an interesting idea. So the Gemara in Sukkah Mem Gimel says, we make a distinction. We sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, but we don't make a brach, Aleisha Basukkah. And that way we're not insulting the Yom Tov of Shmini Atzeres. We don't make the brocha.
And then you don't have the problem with Baltosif.
Right. So the Shulchan Aruch says, you still do, but the Hasidish custom is not to, but you could say it's going against the Gemara. And if you're going to start keeping Hasidish customs, then you can't eat good brok on Pesach. You realize that. So what about sleeping? We say then, okay, we eat in the sukkah, but if you're going to eat in the sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, should you not sleep in the sukkah, Shmini Atzeres? And indeed, the Vilna Gaon did, because he wanted to show up the importance of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius. So the Rav Yor brings down that you avoid this problem by doing something different. We do something different by not making the bracha leishe basukkah, and therefore it's okay. But for sleeping, we don't make a bracha. We don't make a bracha for sleeping in the sukkah. We only make the bracha when we're eating. So then there's a problem. There's no distinction, and therefore you should not sleep in the sukkah, despite what the Vilna Gaon did. The halacha is you don't sleep in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres because you don't make the bracha for sleeping in any case, and then there's no distinction with the others. The Rosh writes in the fourth chapter of Gemara Sukkah, he says, on Shemini Atzeres we do the various chumras of sukkahs, But he says, in any case, people like to eat outdoors in the summer. And therefore, if you're eating outdoors in the sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, you're making a picnic in the garden. And therefore, it's not over Bal Tosif. Which is a very interesting idea of the Ramah. So he's saying you're not necessarily insulting Yom Tov, because it's quite normal to eat in the garden. But not sleeping, in October. Not in, well, in Israel, it's still very nice and warm in October.
But what, they wouldn't have collars, so they wouldn't have Yom Tov the second day.
Okay, but what's interesting, what comes out from the Rosh and the Kobban Asanel, there's a chiddush here, because on Shmini Atzeres, their criteria is not the din of Mitzvah. It's the din is the weather nice enough to sit in the garden today? If the weather's nice enough, if you would normally sit in the garden with such weather, then you will do so on Shmini Atzeres. Whereas Mitzvah is the din during Sukkot, but on Shmini Atzeres, the din isn't mitzvah then, is the weather nice enough to sit in the garden as though it were a normal day? So therefore your criterion is more strict, and that, or should I say more lenient, in that you'd more likely be able to sit in the house of Shmini Atzeres, because although you're not mitzvah in the sukkah, the weather's not really nice enough to sit in the garden. The Rashba, he writes that it is correct to sleep in the sukkah, because he says there's no problem about Tosif, because whenever you've got a din d'rabbanon on something, like the 100 sounds of the shofar, then you're not guilty of adding to the mitzvah. But we don't really go like the Rashba, and the general minhag olam is to practice according to the general psak, which is no sleeping in the sukkah of Shmini Atzeres. We've just got a bit of time left, and there's something mystical which comes up from a sefer Emunah Sitecho, a Rav Wolfson, who brings down a couple of very interesting ideas, which can also help us understand my original question of the Ramah. Why does he say Meduknikin b'mitzvahs? Those who are particular in the mitzvahs will sleep in the sukkah regardless. And this is based on a posuk, Ufonisov Abokev Ohachto La'alecho. When you bring a korban in Yerushalayim, there is a din that you have to sleep there the night. You can't just go in your Ferrari to Jerusalem, bring your korban, and then race back to Haifa, or get your plane back to London the same day. The din is, Ufonisov Abokev Ohachto La'alecho. That is the din. That is a gematria of 850, which interestingly is the same gematria of Kivoch Hashem B'tzion Ivot L'moshav Lo, from one of the Shehamalas, that Hashem has chosen Tzion, it is a desirable thing that one dwells in it. So what does it mean one dwells in it? That when you come to give your korban in Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is not owned by any particular tribe, Yerushalayim is unique, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sanctuary. So when you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sanctuary and you bring your korban, you stay the night. He says, the sukkah is your mikdash. The sukkah is such a holy place, it is like a Beis HaMikdash. You come to it, part and parcel of the Hachnosas Ochim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yerushalayim is also in your sukkah. But just like when you are Hashem's guest in Jerusalem, for eating and you're drinking, you're also Hashem's guest for the sleeping. In order to be Hashem's guest in your sukkah, because it's the Mikdash, you have to sleep in it as well, to complete the Hachnosas Arachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Most amazing, profound idea. And that is why the Ramah says, Hamadaktikin B'mitzvahs, because we emulate our sukkah to be like a Mikdosh. And when you're in the Mikdosh and in Yerushalayim, you have to sleep there the night. And then there's another idea. He says, referring back again to Yaakov Avinu, who slept on Har HaBayis, Vayishka B'mokam Ahu. He says, the idea of Shechiva, when you lie down to go to sleep, is that you are submitting yourself to Hashem's mercy. Sleep is a 60th of death. When you go to sleep at night, you don't really know whether you'll wake up in the morning, but with Hashem's chesed you do, and you wake up and you say Mode Ani. And part and parcel of your daily lifestyle is that you make yourself subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by going to sleep, because you are at His mercy, even though you are unconscious when you are sleeping. So when you go to sleep in the sukkah, you're doing the same thing by making yourself subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by sleeping, by putting yourself into that unconscious state. And that is also a most unique way of Avodas Hashem, of putting your trust and bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A most amazing piece from this sefer, Emunah Sitecha.
I remember once I was walking to shul on Minyat Teres and met a member of the shul with his lulav and estrich.
Yes.
So I said, we don't take. He said, but I sit in the sukkah.
Yes. Yeah, all right. Well, there's other aspects to it. Because Lulav is Drabonon culture. So we don't do the Drabonon for Sveik of the Yoma. But it's an interesting question. Yeah. Why don't we take Lulav on Shmini Atzeres? Very interesting use. But sukkah is Daraisa Kol Shiva. So that gives you the idea, back to the Ramah of Medakdekin B'Mitzvahs. Those who aren't just keeping to the letter of the law of what the Shulchan Aruch says or what the Ramah says, well, I'm justified, I'm mitzdayeh. But one who is Medakdekin B'Mitzvahs, to emulate the sukkah as though it's the mikdosh, and to put oneself to sleep, that one is still doing Avodas Hashem. But I find there's another beautiful idea which comes out of it. When one sleeps in the sukkah, apart from the thrill of being like camping and out in the garden, and you wake up seeing these stars of light coming through the schach, it's really beautiful. There's another aspect. Kol rega vorega, every single second that you're in the sukkah, you're doing a mitzvah. And even when you're asleep, and you're doing a mitzvah every single second, I mean, that's a good deal. You're getting a reward for something you're doing unconsciously. And when you're unconscious, you're still getting that reward. Kol rega v'rega. That is really a beautiful deal. Something which we can take away from us from Tishri to the whole year when we recharge our batteries, that we're doing our mitzvah, our Kodesh Baruch Hu, not only in our conscious state, but also in our unconscious state. I wish you all a chag sameach.